Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Hudsonville, Michigan. I'm glad you've joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging.
I invite you now to turn your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. Book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, we'll be looking at the first three verses this morning. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. Follow along with me as I read aloud. This is God's holy and authoritative and inspired word. From Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Again, the reading of God's word there. May he bless it unto us. Encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we study this past portion of Scripture together. Let's pause for a moment and bow our heads in prayer. Lord, these are your words. They are God-breathed. And so, Lord, we ask this morning as you equip us, Lord, that you will teach us where we need to be taught. Lord, that you will correct us where we need to be corrected. Lord, that you will rebuke us where we need to be rebuked. And train us where we need training. Lord, thank you for the book of Hebrews. And thank you for these few verses. Lord, may we, as we study it, Lord, may you bless these words to our hearts and to our lives. For we ask this in Jesus' name, and let us say together, amen. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the title of our sermon this morning is, What is Faith? What is Faith? Now, we hear a lot about faith. We can read a lot about faith. In the New Testament alone, there are some 240-plus references to the word faith. We read that we are saved by faith, we stand by faith, we confess our faith, we profess our faith, we examine ourselves to see if we are in the faith, but there are times that we just can't define what faith is. Faith has become one of those Christianese words that we simply throw out, and when challenged, some of us struggle with defining what faith really is. This is an important question. Throughout church history, it's an important question that was raised regarding the Reformation. One of the solas, of the five solas that are so near and dear to our hearts, is sola fide, or only by faith. What does that mean? What does it mean? Well, faith is can be defined in many different ways. And in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, we have a description of one of those definitions. I wouldn't say that this is an overarching, pointed definition. I think when you look at all of Scripture, there's other aspects of faith, other aspects in the definition of faith. But here in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, this author is introducing us to a chapter that is known on faith. If I were to ask you this morning, what chapter would you go to for the chapter on love, the defining chapter on love, most of you would say, yeah, it's 1 Corinthians 13. If I were to say to you, what is the defining chapter on repentance, many of you would say, it's Psalm 51. If I were to ask you in the defining chapter on faith, you would say it's Hebrews chapter 11. This is a chapter that if we go to the previous chapter, as we look at the end, you'll notice that the author of Hebrews, and we're not sure who the author is. There's debates regarding who wrote this, and so we're not sure exactly who it was, so we simply call the author of Hebrews. The author of Hebrews writes here in verse 37, "For just in a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay, but my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him." There he's quoting Habakkuk chapter 3, that my righteous one will live by faith. And then you'll notice what he says in verse 39. "But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved." And this introduces us to this chapter on faith. The author of Hebrews doesn't want us to shrink away, doesn't want us to be to shrink back in our faith, but he wants us to believe. He wants us to recognize that we are saved by faith, and he wants us to understand what faith is all about. It's a question that we still must ask today. We still must understand what faith is about. You see, because some of us here this morning are very confident. We know who our Savior is. We're going to sing in a few moments, "I know who I'm believed, and I'm persuaded he is able to keep us." And we recognize that. And yet there are some of us here this morning that maybe the trials of life is kind of burden us. And some of us have felt like our faith isn't strong. It's just being challenged. And there may be some of us here this morning who are going, "You know what, I have no idea what you're talking about. I hear it all the time. I'm told about faith. We talk about faith. There are churches that are called faith, but I don't understand what it's all about." Well, no matter what camp we're in, it is important for us to understand what is faith. And so this morning, as we study Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, my prayer is that as we study it, we will recognize that and be able to define what faith is, and not only know it, not only define it, but it will spur us on in believing it and give us confidence in our God and the salvation that is ours in Jesus Christ. Because you see, faith is personally and humbly trusting Christ alone for our salvation. It's trusting Christ alone for salvation. Those solas of the Reformation were so important to us. A few years back, the Lutheran Church and the Catholic Church got together, and they said they made a great statement, and there were many within the Church Universal that were applauding this. They were saying, "Look at the Catholic Church and the Lutheran Church have combined together again after all these years of being split apart. They have come together and said that they truly believe that they're justified by grace through faith in Christ." Some of you may be saying, "That sounds pretty reasonable." But did you notice what words weren't mentioned? It wasn't Christ alone, and it wasn't faith alone. It wasn't grace alone. It's important for us to understand that faith. Hebrews chapter 11 is one that speaks of those who did not shrink back in the face of trials and difficult circumstances. If you were to read on in chapter 11, you will find a number of Old Testament saints that were mentioned. And none of them are perfect by any means, but they are mentioned there by faith, by faith, by faith. And the author of Hebrews doesn't go very far in the Old Testament scriptures. And towards the middle of the chapter, he basically says, "You know, well, what about all these men? What about Gideon? What about Barak? And what about all these other judges and Samson and so on?" They faced trials. They faced difficult circumstances, but they still believed. They did, as one commentator states in his commentary, said they adhered to God's promises. They depended upon God's word. They remained faithful to God's Son. And isn't that what we want as well this morning? Isn't that what we want to be encouraged as we study these verses on faith? Don't we want to recognize that God's promises are for us too? Don't we want to recognize that our dependence is upon the word of God? Don't we too want to remain faithful to Jesus Christ because of what he has done for us? That's our prayer. That's our hope as we read these verses together. And so let's look at this passage. Let's first look at our first point. And that first point is this, is faith defined. Faith defined. Now, notice how the author begins. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. It gives us this small glimpse. It is not this complete explanation of faith, but it gives us a glimpse into a definition of faith. Faith, notice it says, is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. We don't put our faith in other people, at least saving faith in other people. We don't put our saving trust in our church, or even, dare I say, our leadership. We don't put our hope, our saving hope, our refuge and our strength and our strong fortress, as we have read, we don't put that in our parents or in our children or in our spouse. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about our Savior, our Mediator, our Defender, our Redeemer. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is a gift. It is a gift. And it's, you see, our faith isn't based upon what we do. It's not based upon our denomination. It's not based upon our church attendance. And it's not based on your last name. It's not based on our occupation. It's not based on our reputation or our intellect or our personality. It is on Christ, in Him alone. It's in Him in which we are being sure of what we hope for. It is in Him that we are certain of what we do not see. I think of the story of Thomas, Doubting Thomas. What a label he has, Doubting Thomas. And you remember in the resurrection, Thomas is with the disciples, and he says, "Look, I'm not going to believe unless I see the nail prints. I'm not going to believe unless I see that and feel that spear in this side." And Jesus appears, and what does He say? "Thomas, look at my hands. Thomas, look at my side." And Thomas exclaims, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus says, "Look, blessed are those who see and believe, or you have seen and believe. Blessed are those who do not see and yet believe." Jesus is referring to you and to me. Blessed are those who do not see and yet believe. You see, true faith is knowing and believing that my sins have been forgiven. Knowing and believing that I have been made forever. Knowing and believing that I have been granted salvation, not because of what I do, but because of what Christ has done for me. It's receiving and resting upon Jesus Christ alone for our salvation, as it's stated in the Scriptures. That's what our confession states regarding true faith. True faith is more than information. It's more than head knowledge. It's more than knowing the right answers, kids. It's more than knowing the right answers. But it's also a conviction of recognizing that we need Jesus. And we all need Jesus. There's not a person in this room that is excluded from that need. Not one. We should know these things. We should believe in these things. We should be committed to these things. It's a cognition, it's a conviction, it's a commitment. Knowing is not enough. James will write in his section on James chapter 2, where he talks about faith without works is dead. He says, "You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe in one God," and they shudder. I think I can ask the kids here. I don't think if I ask the kids, the demons are going to be in heaven. I don't think any of them would say yes. It's more than just knowing; it's being committed to it. It's believing in your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. It's confessing with our mouths that Jesus is Lord. It's a head knowledge that leads to a heart knowledge. There's some that will say the biggest, farthest distance between saving faith and not, and saving faith in Jesus Christ and saving faith in something else is the distance from your head to your heart. I was talking to a Sunday school teacher last week, and he said, you know, he says, Pastor, he says, that hit the nail on the head. He says, because that's the biggest struggle we have. It's so easy for us to become apathetic. It's so easy for us to be complacent when it comes to the idea of faith, but it is something that should ignite us. It should be the spark that ignites the fire. It's the key that unlocks the door. It is something that it should excite us on a regular basis. The very fact of who Jesus Christ is and what he's done for you and for me. That's what faith is defined. It's being certain, being sure of what we hope for, and certain of what we do not see. Now, there's a word in there, and that leads to our second point, and that is faith believed. We have faith defined, but now we have faith believed. And we find here, there's a word in here that we find in verse 1 called being sure of, as it's translated in the NIV. If you're someone that has the ESV, you will also find the word is assurance. That's a very rich word. It can mean a lot of things. It's a rich word. It can mean substance. It means something that although we do not see it, we know it's real. I always love Billy Graham's illustration of the wind, that we see the wind, we can feel the wind, we can see the kites blowing, the trees swaying, we can see the leaves blowing in our neighbor's yard, but we don't see the wind itself. Just as we don't see the Spirit. We don't see God moving in mysterious ways, but we know that it's real. This word that it can be sure of can mean substance. It can mean foundation. It can mean something rock solid. In California, they don't have basements in California. They put the houses on long slabs of concrete. And the reason why they do that is because in case of an earthquake and the house shifts, the house doesn't shift and crumble and fall within itself like it would here in Michigan if a major earthquake hit. It's a foundation. It's that will keep the house intact. Just as faith is a firm ground that we can stand upon. We sing the hymn on Christ, on the solid rock I stand, and we all know that everything else is sinking sand. This word can also mean a confidence. A confidence. When we talk about being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see, kids, that hope is not some of this wishful thinking. Some of you might have Christmas lists started already. I don't know why you would do that, but some of you do have a Christmas list started already. And you have that wish list. Faith is not about a wish list. It's not a vague hope. It's being confident that what God has promised, he will keep. That what God has promised, he will keep. And in Hebrews chapter 11, the author time and time again talks about these various Old Testament people who believed even though they had not seen it. Have you ever thought for a moment, Noah was told to build an ark in a place where they never saw rain? That Abraham decided to go and God spoke to him and he would go to a land that he would not know. That he did not know where he was going, and yet he went. He was confident in God. Faith is something real. It's something rock solid. It's something that gives us confidence. A guarantee that what God has said is indeed true. Some of us in our faith are struggling. We let those burdens and those worries and everything else bring us down a notch. Some of us may be in a moment right now where we're throwing our hands up in the air and saying, why, God, why are you doing this? Some of us are struggling so much in being confident that what God has said will be true. These words are encouragement to us. These words give us hope, a real hope. You see that our faith is not upon what we do. It's not upon who we are. It's not on what we are. It's upon Christ. And we haven't seen him. We haven't beheld him with our eyes, and yet we can trust and to know that he will save his people. The God of the past is still God today. If God hadn't let the saints in the Old Testament down in the past, what makes us think that God will let us down today? See, it's faith. It's confidence. It's a certainty. It's a conviction that what God has done is true. Because he is indeed powerful. He is indeed almighty. He is trustworthy. That leads us to our third point, and that is faith approved. Faith approved. Look at me in verse 2. This is what the ancients were commended for. God himself commends the saints for their faith, for their active faith, for their living faith. Faith is not a recent phenomenon. It's not something that the New Testament church just suddenly came up with. Hey, let's call this idea of believing, let's call it faith. It's something that we see throughout history. You see, the world recognizes power. The world recognizes wealth. The world recognizes fame. But you see, as the author of Hebrews goes on in Hebrews 11, he doesn't commend the saints for their gifts. He doesn't commend them for their attainments or their beauty or their lack of beauty or their strength or their popularity or their own power or their own wealth. What does the author of Hebrews commend them for? For their faith. For their trust in God's promises. And we too must live by faith. We need to stop simply looking at it as some abstract idea and live it out. To live out our faith. To live for God's glory. To believe that because of our sins that we deserve hell, and yet because of God's grace to those, he has promised eternal life. We must repent of our sins and turn to God. We must die more and more to sin and live more and more to righteousness. We must roll over and rest on Christ, as John Murray would teach. None of us here were too concerned last night whether or not our beds were going to break, or whether someone was going to break into our house. Or maybe we were concerned that we might get TP'd last night. I mean, it was, after all, some holiday. Reformation Day, that's right. We rolled over and we laid our head in the pillow, and some of us fell asleep very fast. Some of us, it took a little bit longer. And you see, that's what faith is all about. It's resting not upon what I've done. It's not resting upon where I worship. It's not resting upon my last name or my family heritage. It doesn't rest on my habits that, after all, I come to church every week because, after all, that's what I'm supposed to do. But our rolling over is and resting is upon Christ. It's upon what he has done for us. Upon what his sacrifice meant for you and for me. And that's for every person here. That's not just for a select few. That's for every pastor that's present. That's for every elder, every deacon, every Sunday school teacher, every mom, every dad, every child. It's about faith. And you see, later on in verse 6 of this chapter, the author of Hebrews will write, "Without faith, it is impossible to please him." And so instead of living our lives desiring to please people, instead of desiring to make others happy, our main focus, if we are to live by faith, is to live to please God. And some of us don't have much of an interest in that. And that's when we need to recognize that error and recognize that we aren't living by faith, that we are living to please maybe ourselves instead of looking to please God. So may we examine our hearts today, and may we live a life of faith. A faith not in faith, a faith not in works, a faith not in who we are, but a faith in who Christ is. And that leads to our fourth and final point, and that is this: faith understood. Now, it's very interesting that here the author of Hebrews is talking about all these, talking to and warning those readers to those who shrink back and are destroyed. He's encouraging those who believe and are saved. He's talking about what faith is. He's talked about how the ancients were commended for their faith. And then the author of Hebrews goes to creation. And that seems kind of strange that he would go from the ancients to creation to God and then back to the saints. Well, there's a very good reason why he does this. Because you see, if faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see, then what better place to go to than a time in which there was nobody to see it? And there was where there was no one to witness, back to creation. And you see, the author of Hebrews is very smart here. You see, in most of the Greeks at this time, most of them didn't believe in a creation account. Most of them believed that creation couldn't have existed. Boy, does that sound familiar, doesn't it? Aristotle would teach that the world has always been, because since there's no way that nothing can, or that since nothing comes from nothing, something has to come from something, and so therefore creation has always existed. In fact, the Greeks would believe that faith was a characteristic of the uneducated, the unsophisticated. Boy, were they wrong. You see, because biblical faith is not a blind faith. It's not a wishful thinking. It's not necessarily a leap in the dark. It's not a positive attitude. It's necessarily a sacrifice of our intellect. Our faith is resting in Christ. And that's not a stab in the dark, by no means. And the author of Hebrews goes back to a time in which the world was null and void until God himself said, "Let there be light." Until God created all things out of nothing. Ex nihilo, as they say. And so we can be assured that God can create something out of nothing. Then we can be assured that God will give us what we need. And that takes faith. And that takes a real faith. So that when we're struggling in a relationship, when maybe we're mourning the loss of a loved one, when we're emotionally beat down, when things go awry, that we can know that God will provide. That he will not let us down. That the God who spoke all things into existence, as and Mick, I'm sure we'll talk about that this evening, but as God speaks all these things into existence, and we can be assured that God knows us. That God knows our needs. That we can cast all our cares upon him because he cares for us. And the author of Hebrews will begin the book of Hebrews by saying that in these last days God has spoken to us by his Son. That through Christ the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Through Christ that we could behold his glory, full of grace and full of truth. Through Jesus Christ all things were created. Through Jesus Christ we can have salvation. And that's who we place our faith in. In him alone. Him alone. You see, a real faith, a true faith, is one that's going to desire to be fed upon God's word. It's one that's going to desire to be to grow strong from God's word. It's going to be ones who live by faith are going to want to bear fruit from God's word. And God's faith without works is dead. James writes about that. There's some that want to say, look, James and Paul are talking about two totally different things. They contradict each other. Paul is saying we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And what James is saying is that faith is real. It's living. It's active. It should demonstrate itself. So when we're struggling, when we're doubting, when we're not sure what's going on in our lives, we can still live by faith. We can still be active in our faith. That God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. It's more, and that's more than just a song that we sing once in a while, but it's something we really believe in our hearts. It's something that we really confess as we sing it. And so in conclusion this morning, I want to ask you a question. And I want you to truly examine your hearts. It's a very simple question to many, but it's very profound. Do you really believe? Do you really believe? There may be a young person here this morning who says, look, I'm not ready to make that commitment yet. There may be an elderly person here whose faith has become very introspective to the point of where some of us here feel like we're in control of our salvation. There may be some here who still think that your good works need to outweigh your bad works, and that's going to be what's going to get you to glory. Some of us here put our faith in something else. Do you really believe? To answer that question, we must say, I believe in Jesus Christ. My faith alone is in Him. And be bold about it. To not doubt it. To confess it. J.C. Ryle will write, faith is the root of a real Christian's character. If you truly believe that you are a Christian, then faith is at the utter depths of everything we do and everything we say. Because it's everything we believe. Because it's being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. It's so easy for us to talk about faith, but it's much more of a challenge to live by it. And so as we ponder these words, as we reflect upon these words, may we not be like those who shrink back, those who are destroyed, but may we be those, as the author of Hebrews states, may we be those who believe and those who are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, search our hearts this morning. Search every corner of our lives. Lord, may we not just simply say the right words or sing the right words or know those Sunday school answers, but Lord, may we believe it. Lord, help us to recognize Jesus Christ. Help us to not make faith something apathetic or complacent. But Lord, without faith, it's impossible to please you. And so, Lord, may we have a sincere faith in you and what Christ has done for us. Lord, through good times, through difficult times, through times of peace and times of conflict, Lord, may we continue to turn our eyes to you in faith. We ask this in Jesus' name, and let us say together, amen.
This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, one of the newest churches in a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We meet weekly for worship in the Hudsonville Christian Elementary School. Our services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information, or if we can be of assistance to you, feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151 or on the church website at www.cedarchurch.net.